Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get your notepad and a pen if you're able. Call a friend, call a neighbor, let them know we're getting ready to study the Word of God. We're going to take you into a message entitled, Revealing the Man of Sin. If the church no longer think that we can walk in the Spirit and cease sinning for the rest of our life, then maybe the man of sin has convinced you that that's impossible. But let's go into the Word and let's see that the Word says it's possible. Let's go down to the message.
Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to be in class tonight. And the Holy Spirit put this on my heart. And let me lay a good foundation before we get into it. We've been talking about the man of sin, but after tonight, you're going to get a picture of the damage that the man of sin can do to people. And so once we get this vision, we will know what we're up against and how to handle the man of sin that's in God's people. That's what it's about. As we get started tonight, go to Titus chapter 3. And we got peoples on the internet viewing, and we're going to archive this lesson so that people can go back and view it. Father, we thank you for the prayers that have already been offered up in this place. We thank you, Lord, for this Bible study tonight. It's so good and so pleasant to come into the house of the Lord and gather in your name. And now, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit as we release him in this place. And as we go through this Bible study tonight, we want you to inform us, to enlighten us, to strengthen us, and to cause us to be motivated by love, motivated by truth, and courage. We give you praise tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority over the atmosphere, over this ministry, in this neighborhood, in this city, this state, and throughout the world. We take authority over the demonic host, every spirit of witchcraft, every spirit of control, every demonic activity. We cast you out of the atmosphere. We cast you out of this work and ministry and from off of this ministry, and declare by faith that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We also take authority over the man of sin, the Antichrist spirit in the bride of Christ, in the church, among the church. And Lord, we cast that spirit out and we approach the truth, and we pray that you would bind the people up unto the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay, let's go to Titus chapter 3. And here, this is what we're going to watch in a few minutes, providing we can get it to play. It's probably about 30 some odd minutes long. But I want to lay the foundation, and I think you're going to see it in a different light. Okay, Titus 3 and verse 1, it says, put them in mind to be subject to power, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometime foolish. As we deal with God's people and as we deal with people, one thing we need to always remember, that we was once blind, we was lost also. And the Bible said that we ourselves were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards all men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. As we deal with people issues, and as we deal with the man of sin that's inside of the people, when I say inside, the man of sin is inside of people's thought life, inside of their belief system, inside of their words, what they say, what they think, what they feel, how they view things. And the Bible said, unto those that are pure, all things are pure. Unto those that are defiled, all things are defiled. So if my heart is defiled, by false doctrines, if my heart and my internal life or my soul is defiled by what I believe, then everything I see is going to be defiled. It don't mean that what I'm looking at is defiled. It just simply means my heart is defiled. And people wasn't born with defiled hearts, so to speak. They was born in sin, but they had to develop what they believe. Okay? And Satan helped people develop that, and especially the church. So my point here is, as we watch this tonight, this film tonight, it's really not a film. We'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, as we watch it tonight, I want you to remember that we was at one point foolish as well. And because we keep that in our mind, it should cause us to be motivated by love. Okay. Everything we do, we got to be motivated by love, because God saw fit to call us out of darkness, enlighten us. Now, if we are not careful, we'll take all of this enlightenment, all of this holy word, and we'll look down on people, and we won't be able to bear nobody, but God bore us. We can't do that. If we do that, we will offend the Almighty God. God called us out of darkness, enlightened us, and now want to send us back in our world to deal with people that's caught up in blindness. And we got to always be motivated by love and by truth, but as well as courage, because it takes courage to deal with this thing. Okay, now Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, it said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." People are not our problem. People are not the problem. But spirits get in people. Doctrines get in people. So when we're dealing with people, we got to always know to love the person and deal with the spirit that's in the person. And that's just going to be a test of your love. That's all it is. It's a test of love, test of wisdom. Because, if you get truth in you and now you can't bear nobody, then that shows you haven't grown up in that truth. It shows your spiritual maturity. Okay, so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wicked spirits in high places. That's what we up against. Now, as we begin to show this tonight, the reason I'm showing it is because I want you to get a revelation of the man of sin and how he can set people up to believe all kinds of things, and especially people who's in authority. Because if the man of sin can get in the person that's in authority, well, he gonna influence everybody he's got influence on. And so that Antichrist spirit started first in the clergy, and it's still in the clergy. But it got in the pews because it started in the clergy, okay? And I want you to always remember that. Now, as we go through this tonight, here are some things I want you to jot down. Tammy, if you need a notepad, Tammy got a notepad. Tammy got some notepads, and she got pens if you want to take notes, if any of the kids want to take notes, because y'all can learn, believe it or not. And here's some of the things I want you to remember as we go through this tonight, because I don't want to stop it. I'm going to let it run all the way through. Because I want you to get a good picture of the enemy that we deal with. And keep in mind, the people are not the enemy. It's the spirit that set them up and got them influencing and teaching the entire church these false doctrines. Okay. Now, as we watch this film, Nisha, can you put up the first scripture, 1 Peter 1, verse 15 through 16. Here's some things I want you to remember as we go through this. I guess it is a show. I don't know what to call it. It's a show. But most of y'all remember when I challenged the leadership regarding some things they are teaching. And so they took the word of God and tried to trash it just to hide behind their doctrine, just to protect their doctrine and what they want to present to the body of Christ. And whenever truth come forth, if you got a lie and don't want to repent, you got to speak evil of the truth in order to hold on to a lie. Okay, you got to do that. There's no other way around it. Now, as we go through this show, when you hear sinless perfection, I want you to think about holy. Okay. Anytime you hear sinless perfection, think about holy, because what happened is the man of sin, in the court system, certain words and the way you use certain words could mean a lawsuit or could mean you losing a lawsuit or winning a lawsuit. It's the way you word things. Wording is so important. And Satan used this same tactic in the body of Christ. He changed different things and used deep sounding words. You know, these words sound deep. Sinless perfection. No such thing as sinless perfection. Okay, because what most of the body already believe is nobody perfect. So they already believe that. They just lump human perfect and godly perfect together and just say nobody perfect. So what the enemy did is he come up with a doctrine in the church that there is no such thing as sinless perfection. Well, that's going to appeal to the majority of the people in the world. Y'all follow me? If you come out and say that, that's going to appeal to the majority of the people in the world and the majority of the people in the church. Because almost everybody in the church, well, yeah, that's logical. Nobody perfect. So the enemy used this term right here, no such thing as sinless perfection. But what I need you to do as students to think about holy. And what I did when I hear people say no such thing as sinless perfection, I challenge them in love. Well, sinless perfection just mean holy, because holy is exclusive of sin. If you got holy and one sin, is it holy? Holy is void of all sin, right? So let's say what you're really talking about. Narrow it down. And that's what you got to do with people that say no such thing as sinless perfection. Narrow it down. What you're saying, there's no such thing as holy. Okay. Now, if you start teaching it that way, you're going to get some antennas raising now, because everybody know, God said, be ye holy for I'm holy. See, it's making connection now. So Satan will give you words to throw you off. No such thing as sinless perfection. Well, what you're really saying is no such thing as holy. Now, if you really start preaching that and say what you're really saying, and you come out and say, no such thing as holy. Well, the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, guess what? Nobody going to see God. So when you hear this word repeated, I want you to think holy. And when you're dealing with people in the public, try to narrow them down to saying, no, you're saying that nobody holy. That's what you're saying. Okay. Now, this scripture right here says, but as, David, make sure we get myself in this here, because we got people watching, and I'm going to put this in the archives. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 through 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, manner of life. That's what conversation means, manner of life. Okay? Because, here's why. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, let's get something straight. What God is saying is, be holy like him. He's not saying assume holiness. He's not saying, well, I'm holy by faith. He's not saying, because of what I believe, I'm holy. No, the Bible said, but as he, God is pure holiness. In God, no darkness. In God, no sin, right? So as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. So we know right from this scripture and many other ones, he talking about being holy like him. So that now we get somewhere now with the people that teach no such thing as sinless perfection. Because what you're really saying is no such thing as holy. Okay? Now, when I narrow you down to saying no such thing as holy, now you can't escape and say, well, let's just believe it, I'm holy. Uh-uh. Y'all see that? Okay, we got them. All right. Okay, now, when we begin to film this show, when you hear him say that he read my email and he misread it and misquoted it, I don't know if he did it purposely or not, but I did write him back and tell him, you did that wrong. But he never went to correct it, so I would have to think that he kind of did that purposely. Okay, so when you see the email being read, when it says that I stated that there was many that believe in sinless perfection, but when you see him say, I said there's many that believe in sinless perfection, that's not what I said in the letter. I said there's many that believe in the cross and the blood, But we just don't accept your perspective of the cross and the blood. That's what I said, but he gonna make it sound different. So when y'all see that, y'all know the truth, okay? Now, just a few more things I want to cover here. But first of all, everybody got holy, right? Okay? And then let me put up 1 John 3 and 7. 1 John 3, verse 7. And this is going to be very important tonight after you finish, because after I got through preaching on the man of sin, you're going to see him in a different light tonight. Ask my wife. We rewatched it. Totally different light. Okay, here's another scripture. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So whenever the Bible talk about righteousness, he's talking about righteous as he is righteous. So we can't come up with a righteousness with it's some sin, and just long as you don't do the lifestyle of sin, we can't come up with that, right? Because the Bible don't agree with that. Because you're going to hear a lot of teaching and a lot of words tossed around about, well, the Bible says don't do the lifestyle of sin. What they're saying and what that doctrine is saying for several decades has been in the church. What that doctrine is saying is we going to sin. Nobody can stop sinning. Just don't let it rule. Just don't let it dominate. Just don't practice and do the lifestyle. So what they are saying in that doctrine, and this is what's been taught to the body, what they are saying is you can see you ain't gonna stop sinning. Everybody gonna sin, but just don't practice it. Well, this scripture right here said your righteousness have to be even as. Did Jesus have a little sin? No, he didn't have no sin. Bible said in him is no darkness. In him is no sin. So our righteousness have to be even as him. Our holiness have to be even as God. So that leaves no room for having some sin. Just don't do the lifestyle. But that's been the doctrine that the man of sin has put over on the clergy. And you're going to see it in the clergy. And you're going to see the clergy teaching the body. That's the man of sin in the church. Okay, so I'm just trying to prep you first. Okay, now, never sin again, because he's going to read the email and basically say, this man said you can never sin again. They like, ain't no such thing. Okay, let's look at the scripture. I want you to remember this. Turn to 1 Peter 4 and 1. We taught on this Sunday. Let's make sure we understand it, because as you go through this, you got to minister to people. On a regular basis, you got to reach them. Okay, let's look at this again. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise. And I told you, when you study this word here, suffering is self-denial. It's really denying self, because sin is selfish. Anytime you sin, it's something in it for self. It's gratified. If I know sin come with a wage of death and destruction, why would I do it if there's nothing in it for me? So anytime people sin, it's because it's something in it for them. The Bible said it's a pleasure for a season. Okay. So sin is selfish. And Jesus said, to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. And to do that, it comes with suffering. I will suffer to allow Christ to live through me. That's the suffering he's talking about there, basically. Self-denial. So it's that all Christians that want to stop sinning have to practice the fruit of self-control. You see? And so if you say nobody can stop sinning, what they really saying is nobody want to practice self-control. See? And we got to learn to narrow this down for people, because they done made this thing so complicated. And the class tonight is to uncomplicate this stuff, and let's get down to reality and get people to thinking. Sin is just selfish and pride. And if you say you can't stop doing that, you don't want to deny yourself. And Jesus said, if you don't deny yourself, take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. So we have a lot of cannot be my disciples in church. Okay, so this scripture said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That scripture right here, big scripture sitting in the Bible, say you can stop sinning. And so that Antichrist pulled a big one over on the church to make everybody believe you can't stop sinning. He did a number on the church. And this Bible said the way to stop sinning is stop being selfish. Stop walking in your pride. Deny yourself. Okay, now, all right, you can stop. You can cease sinning. That he no longer should live the rest of his time on earth in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That Bible says you can live the rest of your time on earth. You can stop sinning, live the rest of your time doing the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what the Bible say. So now, if we done traveled so far over here that nobody believe you could stop sinning, Antichrist done exalted himself in people internally, and he got them thinking like that. And it is our job now to minister to people. And we can't take the attitude that we don't have, you know, we can't bear you. Because if we ever get to the place where, because we walking in truth, we are better and we can't bear you, I can't deal with you, then God gonna deal with us. Because he called us out that we might snatch some of them out of the fire, hating even the garments stained by sin. Now, all of them ain't gonna come out, okay? Some people like their sin, but some of them we can save. When I say save, I'm talking about save them from the fire, okay? All right, so let me give you another one. Put up Luke 1:74, and I'm prepping you first because when you start listening to this, this is going to show how mature you can be, because you got to sit there and listen to all of this and still love these people. You got to sit there and practice self-control. So I'm going to exercise y'all tonight. You got to practice self-control because you cannot leave out of here hating them. You cannot leave out of here, man, they talked about my apostle. That's selfish. No, you got to see the peoples in love, hate that spirit. And like when I deal with them, I'm dealing with them strong, but it's the spirit I'm dealing with, okay? And if you can't love that person, then God see your little sin just as big as their many sins. That's the thing we got to, that's why we're schooling you tonight on this, okay? All right, this scripture, here's another scripture. That he would grant unto us that being delivered out of the hand of the enemy might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him, come on.
All of the days of our life.
That did not say you can do it one or two days. So for anybody to say you can't stop sinning and live holy for the rest of your life, you're going to have to deny the Bible. See? And a lot of people don't believe that. Now, I'm telling y'all, when y'all talk to folks, I'm sure all y'all already know. But most of the church folks, most of the people in church do not believe that and think you crazy for saying it. And the Bible said right there in their lap, when you hear them say, he said, if it's many of them out here that believe in sinless perfection, and keep in mind, I didn't say many. I said there's many that love the cross but don't receive your cross message. But he said, if there's many out here, show me the voices. When you hear him say that, remember that I responded. And the voices that I had write him and respond were people who had went to his Bible college, graduated from his Bible college. Some of them online tonight. This man was touched by them in jail. And y'all see, I got Expositor's Bible. I'm building the collection now because I'm just meeting his people all over the city, getting them set free with truth. Okay. So when he said, well, the voices, I challenged them on that. Never heard back from him. Okay. Now, so when you hear about lifestyle and dominion, put up 1 John 5:17. 1 John 5:17. Because whenever you hear that lifestyle stuff and that don't let it rule and reign, all they're talking about, they're trying to say you can sin a little, don't sin a lot. That's really what they're saying. Now, the Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. So, that thing about don't practice it, that's a big lie. It ain't in the Bible. That's just something man came up with. Okay, let me see what else. Okay, now you're going to hear him say that, yeah, that's the Bible, sin not. Yeah, sin not. Yeah, that's what the Bible said. He's going to say, if Jesus stood here, Jesus would say, sin not. But then he's going to say, but nobody can do that. All right, Luke 6:46. And see, I'm letting the word of God answer the Antichrist spirit. You got to let the word deal with these things, because they blind, a lot of them blind. And we're dealing with the spirit. And this is the spirit that have taught the church for many years. Okay, if nobody can do that, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? So I want you to, when you hear him say that, I want y'all to remember that scripture. Okay, let's see what else. Okay, you're going to hear him say, show me somebody in the Bible that didn't sin. Okay, Hebrews 11:5. He says, just show me one. All right, Hebrews 11:5, Nisha. Hebrews 11:5. He said, just show me one. Okay. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before the life he lived before he got translated, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's the only testimony the Bible have on Enoch. There's no recorded sins in the Bible regarding Enoch. And the Bible said before he left, he pleased God. He asked and said, show me one. Okay. All right. When you hear sin nature, you got to remember Ephesians 2:1-3. Bible said you were by nature. You've been quickened, and now you don't have a sin nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. So all things, he said. So you're going to have to deny that scripture and those scriptures and many other ones to come up with Christians still have a sin nature. Christians do not have a sin nature. And Romans 7, Paul was not struggling. Paul was given the illustration of unregenerated Jews trying to live the law according to Romans 7:1. Because he said, know ye not, I speak to them that know the law, talking about the Jews. And throughout the chapter, if you read it verse by verse, he giving you an illustration. Every time he alluded to a born-again man, he showed that born-again man successful. Every time he alluded to a man that's not born again, he showed him struggling with sin. That's what Romans 7 is about. But they will take Romans 7 and say, Paul said, every time I would do good, evil is present. That's not what Paul was saying. That was a twisting of the word of God. So I want you to remember that. Okay. All right. You're going to hear him say, we all are sheep. We just sheep. We will get off the path. We will mess up. You know, I'm dumb. I'm not worthy to even call his name. That's that spirit ministering that to sons and daughters of God. And then most of the mind said, I'm not worthy to be. I can't be like Jesus. That was that spirit educating the church. So when you see that, I want you to see that man of sin in the authority in the church, influencing the church. It was very slick. I'll put up Ephesians 5:3-6. Ephesians, it says, but fornication and all, every bit of it, all uncleanliness, all covetousness, let it not be once named. But we going to do wrong. Let it not be once named. We going to do wrong. If the pulpit preach, you going to do wrong. You going to sin. You human. You can't stop sinning. If you hear that for several decades, what you think you're going to believe? Now, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know. He said, you need to know this. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. You don't have no inheritance in you. And then he said, now don't let no man deceive you with vain words. These are vain, a lot of vain words y'all getting ready to hear. But these vain words have discipled the church.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time for today, but I want to encourage you for more free teaching. Go to www.someonecaresministry.org. That web address is www.someonecaresministry.org. If you'd like to call us, you can call us at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. Again, go to www.someonecaresministry.org. For more free teaching. Want you to know we love you. Thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.